welcome to our third episode of the From the Horse's Mouth this week as we continue to rattle through Newmarket's July meeting on the busiest Saturday in the flat world in terms of really good quality racing. It's all coming to a head. Racing TV will be the channel, or a Paddy Power shop, because you're going to have race to race to race from the likes of Ascot, Newmarket, and indeed, if you want, York and Chester and beyond, and Navan. Now, Rory De Largy is with me. Ruby Walsh, who has been on Racing TV this week from Newmarket, and I'm sure is thoroughly enjoying it, is also joining us to look ahead to this Saturday. Now, Ruby, before I bring you in, you did listen to the podcast on Tuesday going into Wednesday, and you did think, I might have a bet on one of Rory's selections. Did it click?
I listened to it on Thursday morning. I did, and I thought Rory's case for Little Guff was so strong that I had my maximum €15 each way on Little Guff on six places. So, hey, it was like back in the winter, wasn't it?
It really was. Yes, Little Guff, one of two selections Rory put up on that 3 o'clock, both placed. We were six places, and Little Guff was 33s, 40s, so 150 to one. What you got big prize.
50s early in the week, 40s in the morning, and then I think 33s SP, wasn't it?
Lovely, jubbly. Brilliant stuff. Right, we're going to get stuck into a very busy Saturday. Before we do, we did say that we give free bets to those who retweet, quote tweeted indeed, one of the From the Horse's Mouth podcast content, anything that we put up on Twitter. And I'm delighted to say we've got a couple of winners. Well done to Peter Dillon and Paul Darville. Delighted to say our producer decided to be very, very kind, generous, sound. He gave two free bets rather than the one. So well done to both Peter and Paul. Plenty more competitions coming in on the pod in the next few weeks, so do stay tuned. Right, lads, let's look ahead to a tremendously busy Saturday, as mentioned. We're going to go through the Newmarket races, the first of which is the 205. That is going to be a money back race on paddypower.com as well, by the way, so do check the Paddy Power website for details. It is a Phillies handicap over 7 furlongs. It's headed in the market. Guess what, Rory? William Haggis with a favourite in a handicap. Unbeaten 3-year-old filly. She's 7-4 as we record. It's 9-2 bar with Miss Carol Ann and Truly Claimed, both at 9-2, both coming in off wins as well. Well, just one of these typical kind of 3-year-old handicap story that you now know how to get a winner in.
Yes, or certainly
one place.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought Golden Spice was the value here. She was on a strong upward curve until finishing on place at Ascot last time out. That was in the Sandringham, which is a stronger handicap than this, over a mile. Her best form prior to that had been at 7 furlongs. She was drawn away from the action in the Sandringham. I thought she ran perfectly well to beat most of the field there. Suggested she was still in top form. She didn't quite last it out. She made the running again. Stiff mile was probably a little bit too much for her against the likes of Heredia. She's back in her own class again. Now, this is a strong enough race, and obviously there's improvement to come from a few of these, but I thought Golden Spice's form was really solid. She's a winner over course and distance in May. Her penultimate race at Leicester, she was a very easy winner there, showing that she's progressing again. Won by 2.25 lengths from Quick Change of Carl Brooks. Quick Change went on and won next time out as well. So that shows that is solid form. And I think her mark of 86 remains fair. There might end up being one who's further ahead of a mark than her, but I thought she was really solid. We know that she's got the right run style for the track. She shows she can handle it. William Buick's been booked for the ride. Lots of positives for her, and I thought, you know, at around 11-2 or 6-1, she was a bit overpriced.
Yeah, she's bang on 11-2 as we record. And William Buick, if he gets that on the board, he could have an absolute bean over Saturday because he's got plenty of good mates. Rory, thank you, Rory. Ruby, the other Rory, your thoughts on the 205?
Well, I just rode straight in behind William Haggis. I watched a replay of Kidwa winning last time at Redcar. Absolutely sluiced in, was equally as impressive at Doncaster. It's impossible to gauge or put a number on what she's achieved. In form, the horses behind her have let it down a little bit, but I love the way she hit the line. I love the way she gallops. Kieran Fallon rides, and Kidwa will do me.
Lovely. Okay, a couple of votes there. Kidwa for Ruby at the top of the market, and Golden Spice for Rory. Move on to the 240 handicap. I'll stick with you, Ruby, for this one. Bay of Honor, William Buick, you mentioned he could have a good day. He's on the 9-4 favourite for Charlie Appy. 3-1, Lusa Dude. 4-1, Jimi Hendrix for Rob Hornby and Beckett. And 5-1, Be Lucky My Son, 8's bar. Right, Ruby, straight back to you. Bay of Honor, looking for a hat trick. We know Appleby and Buick have already struck this week. Is he the one to be on?
Look, there's no doubt he could be. And the Appleby horses have looked particularly well here at Newmarket, but so too of the Hannon horses. So I'm going to side with Lasude. Christophe Soumy on rides, creative force eating. was very good here on Thursday. Liked him at Doncaster. Lasude beat Rocks off of Charlie Hill. So I'm going to stick with Lasude to down the Appleby House.
Fair enough. Okay, Lasude, who could be a quick fire double for the Shadwell operation. Rory, your thoughts?
I quite like Lasude as well. I give him a good look. Richard Hannon does very well at this meeting. I really liked his run at Nottingham on reappearance. He was actually with Sir Michael Stout last season. But he ran really well against a threes on shot at Nottingham and then won with a fair bit to spare at Doncaster. I do quite like him, but I've just come down in favour of Jimi Hendrix, who ran an absolute blinder in the Britannia at Royal Ascot last time out. He tried to slip his field at halfway, and it's one thing you can't really do at Royal Ascot or at Ascot generally is against good horses. You can't really get away from them. You've got to really see it out. He was only caught late in the day, beaten a length and a quarter about that in what is traditionally the strongest three-year-old handicap of the meeting. The Britannia tends to be full of potential group horses. He's gone up £5 for that. I think that's very fair. I think Newmarket will suit him better because Rob Hornby, again, he's liable to take him close to the front. He might be able to inject pace at halfway, and that can be a very good tactic at Newmarket. As you see, if you can inject a bit of pace coming into the dip, you can often steal a couple of lengths on rivals behind you. And I think that's the way Rob Hornby is liable to ride Jimi Hendrix. It won't be easy in this. There are other horses who want to go from the front or close to it as well. But the Britannia was just his second run in a handicap. And I think there's a lot more improvement to come from Jimi Hendrix.
All right, Jimi Hendrix and Lasadude. So both the lads avoiding Bay of Honor, so to speak. 4-1, Jimi Hendrix and Lasadude, 3-1 as we record. Of course, lots can happen between Friday morning and Saturday afternoon. Let's move on to the Superlative Stakes, the first of the group races. It is the quarter past three, the 3:15, a 7-furlong group two. And Victory Dance for Buick and Appleby, 6-4 favourite as we record. Lion of War looking for a hat-trick of victories is 15-8. And for Charlie Mark Johnson and Kieran Fallon, 130 Isaac Shelby, 6-1 Dark 30 for Hannon and Sumion. Could be a big day for Christoph Sumion. Of course, perfect power to come. And then For a Laugh is there for a laugh because it's 33-1. Or is it, Rory DeLargy? Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on the Superlative?
I like Victory Dance, not because he's actually got the strongest form going into this. Again, with 2-year-olds at this stage of the season, especially those who are going to stay a mile, it's difficult getting a handle on them. They're usually either starting off over six or starting a little bit later over further. So I think strictly speaking, in terms of the form that they've shown, Isaac Shelby's probably the horse to beat. But Victory Dance has got the same profile as Native Trail when he came into this race last year. Native Trail won on his debut, I think it was at Sandown, and he was sent off an odds-on favourite, took a long time for the penny to drop with him that day, and ended up coming home an impressive winner. Similarly with Victory Dance, he won over this course in distance on debut last month. Again, he went off at 8-11. At halfway, he looked at about the least likeliest winner in the race, looked green. Took a long time, again, for him to work out what was required. But he came home strongly to win, fairly narrowly this time from Bresson. But I thought he was, you know, the fact that he was sent off so short suggested that he was held in high regard and Charlie had left plenty to work on. You know, I know he's got a good strike rate first time out with his two-year-olds, but they don't tend to be fully wound up. And his very best horses in the last few seasons have progressed markedly from first to second and from second to third start. So I thought Victory Dance would improve more than most in this race and was the horse to beat as a result.
Lovely. Okay, so potential double there for Buick with the earlier winner on Golden Spice. Right, Ruby, your thoughts on the Superlative?
Yeah, look, I can see exactly where Rory's coming from, but I'm going for the other horse he mentions, and that was Isaac Shelby. I love the way he kept learning on the job at Newbury. You know, and he had to get a couple of taps behind the saddle from Sean Levy to get going. The closer he was getting to the line, the more balanced he was getting, the longer his stride was getting, and I love the way he hit the line. So I'm with Isaac Shelby. I think he's open to every bit as much improvement as Victory Dance.
Okay, Isaac Shelby for Ruby and Rory going with the Victory Dance. Right, we move on to the Bunbury Cup. Used to be a really, well, it's still a big race, but again, because it's on this very busy Saturday, sometimes it gets lost. It's fives the field as we record. Montasib for Kieran Fallon, and guess who? William Haggis is at top of the market. Samburu for Jonathan Thady Gosden is 5-1. Kieran O'Neill, big ride for him. Jumbie 13-2 for Eve Johnson Horton. You've got Fafortino for Kevin Philippard Defoy, who's making a bit of a name for himself recently, is 15-2 and backed. And 9-1 Il Bandito, 10-1 and bigger the rest. I know, Rory, Ruby, sorry, you're going to get your pen ready because you love Rory's big selections in these big handicaps. So I'm going to let Rory go first, Ruby, and see if you just row in. Right, Rory, off you go.
Nothing at a massive price here, I'm afraid. I thought the there were two horses I looked at in the race, drawn on different sides of the track. And the pace is probably up the centre to high, which is a little bit of a concern if you've got one drawn low. But I think what will happen is that the field will sort of migrate towards the far rail, and that will create plenty of space in the middle of the track. So I'm hoping that the hold-up horses drawn low will at least get a clear run. And one who will be coming from off the pace, hopefully not too far off the pace in the early stages, is Jumbie. Now, Jumbie has been a bit frustrating this season in that he started slowly on his first couple of starts here and ruined his chance of winning over six furlongs. He ran a cracker in the Wokingham to be third to Rohan last time out. Got away better that time. But the last time he ran over seven furlongs, he was a winner at this track in September. And he's looked increasingly like he wants to step back up to seven furlongs again. And this is his chance. Again, he's been running very well over the shorter trip, but I think there might be a little bit of improvement in Jumbie at this trip, given that he is proven at it. It's not an issue for him at all. He's been mixing and matching six and seven for the last season or so. And I think Christophe Soumian's a very, very good booking for him. He's drawn in stall five. He'll be coming from, if he gets away on turns, he'll be coming from midfield. He's not exactly a late closer. And hopefully the gaps will open up for him. And if they go fast in front, which they're liable to do, it should set up nicely for him. The other one I looked at was drawn stall 20. And I think that's probably it. Although they might go to the far rail here, I think stall 20 is probably a bad draw for a horse who's going to come from off the pace. So that put me off Star of Orion. But he's quite an interesting one anyway, because he hasn't run particularly well this season, but he slipped a little bit in the weights. And he's got a good record at the July course. He's only run twice at the July course. He's won both of those. He won over six furlongs as a two-year-old, then he won over course and distance last year. So I think he's the kind of horse who would benefit from a return to this track. Again, he tends to be slowly away. And I thought off the two, I'm trying to imagine how the race is going to pan out. I was trying to work out who would have the clearest path through in the second half. And with the pace generally middle to high, I thought the field as a group might drift over towards the far rail. And that means that space is at a premium there. And there's a little bit more space for horses who will finish up the middle of the track. So that's why I like Jumbie better than Star of Orion. But if the race panned out in the opposite direction, if they came near side or raced straight up the middle of the track, then Star of Orion might be very interesting there.
Yeah, it's kind of when you are looking at the draw, I suppose it's always better to have one on either side, which you could do on the basis of who knows what could happen. But Jumbie is the main selection. It's 13-2 in that. By the way, we're going to go six places, and you managed to get that sixth at a big price on the Wednesday, or on the Thursday, I should say. Ruby, your thoughts?
As I unmute myself, sorry, PK.
Yeah, yeah. Well done. I'm actually going
with Ross Cullen for David O'Meara. I liked his run in the Buckingham Palace Stakes. He was drawn 18 that occasion, middle to high. I know the fourth horse, Chief of Chiefs, was in 25 outside him, but Inver Park, Opie Guest, and the fifth horse, Montesib, were drawn 2, 6, and 1. So for that reason, I thought Ross Cullen, I think there's more chance of him improving by being with the pace than there is of Montesib, who was favoured, improving to win the race. I think Montesib was on the right side of the track in Ascot, whereas Ross Cullen wasn't ideally drawn. So I'm going with Ross Cullen. He was double the price of Montesib when I looked at it last. For that reason, then going with him.
Lovely. Okay, Ross Cullen for David O'Meara and James Doyle. It could be a very good day for Messrs Buick and Soumian. I think one of their mounts or amount of theirs has been tipped up in every race so far today. And that leads us nicely into the Darley sponsored July Cup, due off at 4:25. It's the big 6 furlong sprint. Perfect Power, of course, who ran a huge race when winning the Commonwealth Cup, now takes on his elders. Soumian on board again, the 9-4 favourite. Artorias staying on third at Royal Ascot. You would assume that this is an easier 6 furlongs and therefore he's disadvantaged, but 7-2 for Artorias for Spencer and the Australians. Creative Force is 5-1 for William Buick. Not much between Creative Force and Naval Crown, who's a 6-1 shot. Flaming Rip for Michael Owen is 9-1. It's 10-1 Romantic Proposal for Eddie Lynham. She has been strongly backed, by the way. 18-1 Alcohol Free and also Happy Romance. Good field. I'll go back to you, Ruby, for the July Cup. I suppose this is our first real opportunity of seeing 3-row sprinters against the older horses. So what's your thoughts?
Yeah, and look, obviously Perfect Power was really good in the Commonwealth Cup, but I'm going to side with the Irish Runner, Romantic Proposal. I think there's only as much between the three home from the sprint on the Saturday of Ascot Naval Crown created force and the Australian runner. But I like Romantic Proposal. That was a great run at Nice in April when she beat Geocentric and Mooney Esther. That Mooney Esther ran really well in the King's Stand over five. Romantic Proposal has form over six. Won at the Curragh last year over six furlongs when she beat Teresa Mendoza, who won a big handicap at the Curragh there lately. So Eddie Lynham has a great record with sprinters. I'm then going to go Romantic Proposal.
Going each way?
No.
Oh, well, I was just about to say, you're right to go each way because we've gone four places. But no, Ruby is going win only on Romantic Proposal, which I've no doubt his was. Now, Rory, your thoughts?
I didn't much like the race in terms of trying to find an angle. I came down on Artorias because I thought he was given too much to do. I know that he stays further than six furlongs, and it looked like he needed an extra 100 yards at Ascot, but he was steadied at the start there and ended up right at the back of the field and had to get motivated earlier than the others to close up. I think if they change the tactics slightly, I mean, he's still going to be weighted with, but you don't need to take a tug leaving the stalls in a strongly run six furlong race. You can just let the others get on with it and you'll still be, you know, rear of mid division. So if Artorias can just keep them within sight, then I can see him finishing off best to win this. We've seen consistently that the Australian sprinters are better than ours. This is not a particularly strong looking race on paper for a July Cup. So it seems an opportune time for the Australians to come over and say, thank you very much, we'll have that. And I think Artorias looks fairly well placed to do it.
Okay, so Artorias and Romantic Proposal, the picks in the July Cup. A reminder, four places if you are playing each way. I just think that would it be fair to say, Rory, that Ascot is stiffer than the Newmarket July course?
Yes, it is.
I think for that reason, I agree that Artorias is probably the best horse, but I just think that the track is going to find him out. And
I think that is a fair possibility, and it's not me being confident about him, but I still end up thinking he's probably the best horse in the race.
But Jamie Spencer rode him at Royal Ascot, and he's the best rider over the straight track.
And you know, Spencer at Ascot is normally a very, very reliable guide. You know, the way he rides tends to ask it better than it does tracks like Newmarket. And the race can develop going into the dip, as I said earlier on, and you don't want to be too far away from them if it sort of slows and then quickens into the dip in a way. If they go a headlong gallop throughout, then it gives you a decent chance of coming from behind, but it's not always easy at Newmarket.
He was very well backed for that, the Diamond Jubilee. Sorry, where are we now? Platinum?
The Platy Jubes.
The Platy Jubes. Oh, yeah. I forget about the Platy Jubes. Very well backed for that. So I wonder if the support will come again.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Let's move to York. It's one of their big days of the season, and it is the John Smith's Cup, which comes up later on at 4:05. Before that, there's one ITB race called the John Smith Silver Cup, which is 1.75 miles and has attracted a field of three horses. Even money without a fight, your favourite for Simon and Christopher. Thunderous is 6-4, who's got some good form here, and 7-2, John Leaper. So we've seen these horses before, Ruby. They've all got a good level of ability. This is a Group 3. This is probably where they're at, but the market suggests without a fight's the one to beat.
It does, but I'm with Thunderous. And three runners, we can explain it here for 20 minutes if you like talking about three horses. But I'm with Thunderous. Someone said the outside of a tree. I just think that's a fishwife's tale myself. I'm with Thunderous.
Okay. It's a shame you probably will be still on Newmarket duty, because I'd love to hear you talk for 20 minutes about this race, Ruby. I really would. But Thunderous for Ruby Walsh in that the John Smith Silver Cup. Rory?
Yeah, I'm with Thunderous as well. He's run... He's only run twice at his local track, but he won the Dante, and then he was second in the Yorkshire Cup. I thought Franny Norton would bounce him out in front, set fairly modest fractions, and you know, try to make sure that he still had a little bit in the tank at the end. And I thought he was the likeliest winner of the race. There's not much between them on the ratings. John Leaper's not the easiest ride in the world. Without a fight on his win here last time out is just about the horse to beat. But I thought he was very well positioned the way that race panned out. And he'll sit handy again. But I think Franny Norton just gets to the front and tries to outwit them. From there, it's a case of who do you think's got the most wits, Franny Norton or Andrea Azzani? I don't don't have a strong opinion, but I think Thunderous will be the one who's in front dictating terms.
Don't have a strong opinion, but you're pretty clear on who you're going to go down on. It may not have been
Brandon Norman's a very wily man. Very wily.
Aren't all Scousers. Right, so that is the John Smith Silver Cup. The big one, the John Smith Cup, is due off for 4:05. Of course, there will be extra places. I believe it might be going 6 places in this on paddypower.com. Again, Mahrajan is the 5-1 favourite. I'm not even going to say the name of the trainer. But I can tell you Dane O'Neill rides, and it's in the Shadwell colours, and it begins with W and ends with Haggis. 6-1 Rogue Bear for Tom Clover, who's been one of the handicap lots that just hasn't quite worked so far this season. He's been going off short prices and big handicaps. He just hasn't got it done yet, but he's been running well in defeat. And Matt is 8-1, 9-1 Intelligent for Jane Chappell-Heim, who's had a wonderful season, as Rory's mentioned already in this pod. Brilliant Light for Saeed Bin Sword, 10-1, and it's 12-1 and bigger the rest. I'll go back to you, Rory, for this race. One of my favorite races of the season. I go back to, weirdly, Mullins Bay winning this race for Aidan O'Brien. I think was like
out in the car park, wasn't he?
He was a three-year-old as well, which is rare for three-year-olds even running the race now, because it's hard to get into it. But that's one that I remember. Now I couldn't tell you the last four winners, but anyway, that's why it's gone.
Yes, I know. It used to be a proper highlight midsummer, and a real day for Yorkshire to shine as well. And we've lost some of the appeal of a few of these big races on this Saturday, because there's just so much on. Even Friday, you know, Ascot, Newmarket and York all on the Friday as well. But anyway, I am going to go for a big price one here.
Yes.
With a degree of trepidation, but the one thing I say, he's not particularly well handicapped, but he has ideal conditions for the first time in a long time. And I think he will run much better than his odds. And that horse is Chichester. My big bet of last season was this horse in the Cambridgeshire. You have to have a life changer every year. I opened up several dormant accounts, and I backed Chichester when he won at Ayr in September at the Gold Cup meeting. And he absolutely bolted up by 6.5 lengths in a handicap. And I realized he was still in the Cambridgeshire, but he'd never really been in the betting for it, because he would have been out of the weights and he wouldn't have made the cut in the competitive handicap. And I realized that under penalty, he was probably just going to sneak in at the bottom of the weights. And everyone was still 66-1 about him. Every bookmaker in town was 66s. And I lumped on with all of them. And he went off 11-2 favourite in the end. But he came 17th. So that was by far the best value bet I had last season.
Best value loser.
Yeah.
They're great, though, aren't they? Yeah.
So you could forgive me for being a little bit lukewarm about Chichester. I don't think he's been brilliantly handicapped, campaign for handicaps this season, because he was stepped up into listed company and ran really well at Kempton on his return. He was only beaten a neck in the Magnolia. That's very good form. And then he wasn't beaten that far in the Earl of Sefton Stakes, a new market on his next start. The handicappers ended up bumping him up a fair bit for those runs in black type races. And then he had a break and returned to turf over a trip he doesn't stay at Ascot. He was never competitive, started slowly, couldn't get into it, was well beaten in the Duke of Edinburgh. They've now put a visor back on him for the first time since the Cambridgeshire. He had the visor on when he won at Ayr, and I thought he used to be a tricky horse when Sir Michael Stout trained him, and I thought a visor was exactly what he needed. And that turned out to be the case. He was very impressive at Ayr last season. He gets a visor on now for the first time since his following start, first time this season. And I thought that would perk him up a fair bit. What he wants is fast ground and a trip of around a mile and a quarter. And again, you know, he gets that a mile and a half is not his trip. So dropping back to a mile and a quarter at a track with a long straight, which suits him as well. You know, he looked very happy at Ayr last year. I thought he'd come back to form. Now he could come back to form and still finish sixth or seventh here, but he will be a massive price. You know, when a horse is out of form and is also, what is he, 15 pounds above his last winning mark.
Yeah,
you know, that's the kind of horse that people don't look at for handicaps at all. I'd rather he'd run a little bit more often and come down the weights a wee bit for this. And maybe it'll be the autumn again before he really hits form. But I think in a race like the John Smith's Cup, you ideally want a horse who is just suited by the hurly-burly of the race. And so I look at that more than the handicap mark. As I said, I'd rather he was 5 pounds lower. But he is a very, very high-class handicapper. He just needs the right conditions, needs things to fall right. He is a little bit moody, but I hope Yeah, hopefully the visor will just put him in the right mood for this. And the strong gallop here will set it up nicely for him. And hopefully he can hit the frame at a big price.
Yeah, he's 33-1 as we record with the extra places. And of course, yeah, that profile wouldn't suggest he's going to be smashed up. Producer Mark, eagle-eyed as usual, he's watching in the background and he said, Ruby, you must have a good tip here for us because you're after putting on your tie. So this must be a good one.
No, Ruby is going straight to work as soon as this podcast is over.
This is work. No. Oh, hey, hello, hello. It's good. It's good fun, but it's still work.
Straight to my next book. No, I came down on the side of Just Fine, dropping down in trip after running over 12 furlongs at Ascot back at 10. They went over 10 at Sandown a while ago, but not a strong choice. I found it a very difficult race to get a handle on, and I ended up with that angle for Just Fine, but one of my weaker selections this weekend.
Fair enough. That's fine. One more race to look at at Yorkshire. Just to recap there, Just Fine for Ruby, a lukewarm selection, and Chichester for Rory, who is waiting for him to finally get that money that he thought he had when he went off 11-2 favourite in the Cambridgeshire. The City Wall Stakes, which is one final race on ITV, it's a 5-furlong sprint, 440. It does see an excellent opportunity for one of the fastest horses in the UK to get a much overdue win, Winter Parish. He's the 7-4 favourite. And we've seen her blitz down this York track before. Remember, she took on, was a Golden Pal and the Nunthorpe. 3-1 Royal Acclaim, who's unbeaten. But my, oh my, this is a tough task for Royal Acclaim and what he's shown so far. However, he's been well backed, fours into threes. Corker is 5-1, 11-2 Katura and 10's Bar. Back to you, Ruby Walsh. And she's Winter Power. Like this is a great opportunity for her, essentially.
Yeah, and I'm with her. I think she's just too fast for the opposition here, and she'd be able to just steady for a fraction somewhere around the tree to make sure she gets home. And I'm with her.
Fair enough. Winter Power, Rory?
I wouldn't be with her at 7-4, I have to say. There's a possibility she's going to drift a little bit. Since she won the Nunthorpe, and I was a big fan of her last season. But since she's won the Nunthorpe, she's been disappointed. She went to the Flying Five and didn't show a great deal there. Similarly, sort of midfield in the Abai. And two runs this season have been disappointing. You can make excuses for both of them, but the bottom line is it's four runs in a row where she hasn't sparkled since a tremendous performance to win the Nunthorpe last year. So I don't really know where we stand with Winter Power. If she's back to anything near her best, she's getting weight from most of these. She really should be winning. She'd be able to beat any of these on last year's form, you know, conceding weight. But I'm just concerned that she's one of these fillies who's brilliant at three and just not quite the same at four. I know I've got a very long memory. I remember Habibti was the best 5-furlong sprinter I've seen in the old days. She was absolutely lightning as a 3-year-old. She came back at four and she just wasn't anything like the same filly. She won the King's Stand, but she just didn't flourish from 3-4. And that's, you know, maybe going back 40 years is pushing that a little bit in terms of opposing Winter Power. But she kind of reminds me of Habibti in that regard. I thought that the horse that was overpriced here was Just Another Bottle. I was with him at Epsom in the Dash where he should have been withdrawn. He got really upset in the stalls and it was clear that he wasn't going to come out on terms. And the race was started and he was, you know, he was basically pulled up straight away. Which was very unfortunate because I had a few bob on that day. He then went back to Ripon where he goes very well and won easily on his next start of a mark of 102. He's 8 now, and I think people expect 8-year-olds, you know, to be regressing or getting a little bit, losing a bit of their speed. But I'm convinced that Just Another Bottle is actually getting faster as he gets older. And that's, you know, that shows up in his form. When he was fourth at Newmarket in April, he'd have won that at 5 furlongs. He just didn't quite get home. He's showing more sustained speed in the early stages of his races. And as a result, I think he's going to prove best at 5 furlongs this season. We didn't get a chance to see that at Epsom, but I think he'll be able to show that here at York, which is a real, you know, real speed track. And he's a double figure price. I think he's, I'd probably go win only on him given what happened at Epsom. And he does need to get out in front. Which isn't easy at this level. It's obviously easier giving weight away and handicaps for a horse like him. But I still think he has got the speed to be competitive in a race like the Nunthorpe. So if he's got some aims of going there, then he needs to be winning a race like this. And I think he's a reasonable bet to do that at the current prices.
All right, so Ruby with Winter Power. It doesn't feel like winter at the moment, whilst Rory, Just Another Bottle win only. And that's what we'll be saying on a scorcher of a Saturday afternoon. Ah, yeah, Just another bottle there. That'll do us. That'll do us. All the barbecues. Now, let's move to Ascot. We've got a couple of races at Ascot on ITV. The first of which is another sprint. It's a 5 furlong sprint handicap. Yes, here we go. Again, De Largue, meet and drink. Tab D, the 15-2 favourite. Burning Cash, 15-2 also, joint favourite. Nomadic Empire is 9s. Zarzini is 10s, as is Corazon. And Lovely Mana, 12-1 Danzino. The old boy Danzino, 11 years young. 12-1 Bond Chairman, 14s and bigger the rest. Obviously, loads of extra places for this race, as you would expect. Straight back to you, Rory. It's a big sprint. Give us the winner.
Yeah, the high numbers should be favoured here because the stalls are against the stands rail. So where you normally think in a big field, the high numbers should be slightly favoured, but they can go either side. Here, because the stalls will be on the stands rail, no one's going to go to the far side of the track. So they're going to be up the middle or towards the rail. And those who are drawn high should have a slight advantage, assuming they can hold their position there in the first place. The one I like at a price here is drawn in stall 14, Get Ahead, who's towards the bottom of the weight. She's number 19 here. This is her first handicap. And I think she's potentially on a good mark. Now, she doesn't look to be particularly well handicapped on the figures that she's produced so far, but she's she was a winner over course and distance on her debut. She then finished sixth in the Queen Mary, but the first three of the first four home were drawn very high that day, and she was drawn in stall 3, I think. So she was second home of the group that raced on the far side of the track, and that's obviously extremely good form. She was then off for the rest of the season, so she needed her return at Kempton, still ran respectably. She went to Bath then for the listed Lansdowne Stakes, and she was the only one of those who weren't drawn very high to finish in the four. I think Bath can have a surprising draw bias towards the high numbers, even on the sprint course. And Get Ahead, I think she was drawn 5 that day, and she got amongst them. She then filled the same spot at York. Again, the pair who finished first and second raced towards the far side and raced prominently throughout. She was held up on the near side. So she didn't get much of a chance to engage with them. And she ran on well to be placed. And then she was fourth to Midbahi at Sandown last time out, where she just lost out on third close home, only beaten a length and a half. Midbahi was very unlucky in a group three last week, again, over that course and distance. So she'll be suited by Ascot. We know that because she's run two good races here. And she's been better than the result in listed races in three starts this season. So I think she's the type who could take a step forward here. And a mark of 93 might not be as harsh as it looks at the first glance.
Okay. The three-year-old taking on the elders. She's currently 18-1. She was 25-1. I can see that's gone. Did you back her with Paddy Power, Rory?
I did. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Frank should love me because it's never a big bet.
the last few days, there's been a couple of bets in Rory's Largue and those horses have shortened. Ruby, Get Ahead for Rory, 18-1. Your thoughts on this one? As you
I have been listening intently, but unfortunately, I made my selection before Rory started talking. But I ended up with one drawn in stall 2, which already has me nervous, and that's Alligator Alley. I think he's coming down in the weights since joining David O'Mara. I wouldn't be overly concerned about his run at the Curragh the last day. Not sure how many sprinters are suited to facing into a torrent of rain. And I think a good few of them didn't face into the Curragh weather on that occasion. But I thought he ran really well in the dash. And he's still coming down. He's on a mark of 90. I think he's coming. It may not be on Saturday, but he's definitely getting himself to a handicap position where he's going to win a race.
Okay. Two big prices, folks. Alligator Alley for Ruby, the ex-Irish train now with David O'Mara. And Get Ahead for Rory. They're both double figure prices and significantly double figure. Right, one more race to go. It is the Summer Mile Group 2 at Ascot. It's headed to the market by Chindip. This represents a great opportunity for him. He's running Group 1s. He drops down to Group 2 today. He's a 2-1 favourite, but he's still 2-1. So there's obviously opposition. Modern News heading that for Appleby and Doyle. Holly Doyle will ride Modern News because obviously James is at Newmarket. That's 7-2. Muta Sabek for Charlie Hills and Charles Hills rather than Jim Crowley is 7-2. 4-1 My Oberon for William Haggis and Tom Marcand. That's been back from 11-2 and 10-1 and bigger there. Straight back to you, Ruby Walsh. Final race we're going to look at. Good quality contest. Proper Group 2.
Yeah, it is proper Group 2 and I hope Chin that wins. He's been slightly making up the numbers in Group 1s behind Baid and I think every horse is due his turn. And I think he's run creditable behind Baid a couple of times. And I hope he wins and I'm with him.
Okay, Chindip for Ruby. Rory?
Yeah, I didn't think it was much of a betting risk for me, but Chindit was my token selection in it. There's not an awful lot between the first four and the betting in terms of the ratings they've been putting up. But Chindit has the advantage of having performed admirably in Group One company, whereas a lot of them are stepping up from listed. So he's the class act, and he should just about get it done. But it's it wouldn't be my my first race to turn through this week in terms of punting.
That's okay. Well, you at least agreed on one selection and took us to the very, very last race. I can't remember, maybe you did another, but yeah, you certainly agreed there with Chindit, albeit lukewarm for Rory. That is ITV Racing's busiest day of the year, or at least close to it, covered. So now we need your best bets on this day three of the July Newmarket meeting and beyond. I'll go back to you, Ruby Wolves. The tie is on. We're ready for the winning map on Saturday, please. Thank you very much, sir.
Isaac Shelby.
Okay, and that is in the Superlative Stakes, which race time is, because I have to get it right, 3:15. 3:15 on Newmarket's card on Saturday. Rory?
I'm going to go with Just Another Bottle in the City Wall Stakes, the 4:40 at York.
Thank you very much. You do my 4:40 as I scroll down. Thank you very much. So that's an interesting shout. York's 4:40 going with Just Another Bottle at a nice price too. That's it, folks. We have covered. Well, thanks very much to you, Rory, because you've been with us all 3 days. Thanks very much, Ruby, for joining us as you are working at Newmarket. We'll be back next weekend. No midweek racing for us to look at. I hope you all enjoy your weekend. Ruby, are you there all 3 days? Are you there? Will we see you there on the Saturday as well?
Definitely. I will be here tomorrow and home then.
Sure, it's grand. It's an easy day for you tomorrow or Saturday, because you basically only get about 10 seconds to talk about the races anyway. So
yes, that's all you'll get on the main channel, but it will be behind on the dedicated channel all day.
Oh, good man. Yeah, Racing Extra. I think it's what they call
Racing
it.
Racing TV Extra, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what they call it.
We will be on TV Extra all day, so you can watch whatever you like.
Or pop into a shop where you get top-class service. There's a Paddy Power shop that is always worth popping into a Paddy Power shop. Lads, look, enjoy the busy Saturday of racing. Hopefully find a few winners. Rory, keep it up with the big handicaps. We'll be back next week. And then after that, the small matter of Galway and Goodwood. We'll get nice and busy then too. Have a great weekend, folks.